This morning, we have jumped right into the middle of Jesus' trial, the trial that we know ends in his crucifixion. He has ridden into town on a donkey, not a stately horse, but a lowly, stubborn donkey. He had dinner with his friends, and taking the role of the lowest of servants, had washed their feet. He was betrayed by one of those disciples, arrested by night, and brought bound to the high priest. In the morning, he was carted off to Pilate. Not exactly your standard model of kingly presence and power. Yet Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" What follows is a somewhat cryptic conversation in which Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this world," to which Pilate responds, "So you are a king." Jesus replies, "You say I am a king." Well, wait a second. We say Jesus is a king. That's what today is called, the Feast of Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ. What is going on here? What if the kind of kingdom Jesus is talking about, the one we're talking about, is a completely different kind of kingdom than what Pilate understands? The kind of kingdom over which Jesus reigns turns everything that Pilate thinks about kingdoms upside down. Christ's authority and power do not come from this world, do not come from having conquered peoples or having the strongest army. Christ's kingdom is not a territory. It is a boundless kingdom, not limited by geography, ethnic group, or even time. Christ's rule, though he uses the word kingdom as its closest analogy in the time, is not about one man in charge, but is about allegiance to a completely different kind of power. Christ's kingship does not mean he imposes his will on his subjects, but rather that we choose to subject ourselves to Christ. Christ's reign is not about implementing policies. It is about transforming hearts. Empire brings so-called peace through violence. Christ brings peace through love. We pray every week for the dawning of this reign of Christ, your kingdom come. Are we to pray only with our words and then sit and wait, idly hoping this kingdom comes down from the sky one day? I cannot believe that. Because Jesus also told us the kingdom is among you or within you. It is here. It is now. It is present to us. The kingdom of Jesus is not from this world, but it is for this world. It is in this world. We are to pray this prayer for your kingdom to come with our lives. We might look at this as a question of belonging. To whom do you belong? Pilate identifies Jesus according to ethnic and socio-religious boundaries, but Jesus redefines the bounds of his nation. Those who belong to him are not limited by earthly categories, but include all who listen to the truth. We are invited to listen to Christ's voice and enter this kingdom with him. Redefining ourselves in this way can be scary. Often, being open to God's word means hearing truth about ourselves, learning that my heart, my mind, need to be transformed before I can begin the work of transforming the world. When we come to these truths, however willingly or unwillingly they are revealed to us, how do we respond? Pilate seems trapped between his true convictions and his desperate desire to hold on to the worldly power he has gained. In John's account, Pilate comes out to the crowd three times to pronounce, "I find no guilt in him." Jesus is innocent. He does not deserve to be executed, and Pilate knows it. He wants to release him. But Pilate is also afraid of losing control, afraid of being labeled an enemy of Caesar, the Roman king, afraid of what the political ramifications of taking a stand for justice in this case would mean. He heard the truth, but he would not listen. It is terrifying to see ourselves reflected in this text. Yet I'm afraid sometimes we are. I wonder if there are places in your life where you feel trapped. Maybe between your convictions and keeping some semblance of order and control. Or between what you really believe and who you are at work or with certain friends. Or within your soul, between part of you that feels bound to worldly power and part that yearns for true freedom and peace. What would it mean to really listen to Christ's word of truth? To lay everything else at his feet, and to follow him with your whole heart and mind and soul as the only ruler of your life. To be clear, this is a process. It is a process of faithfully trying to listen to God's voice and to discern God's will. The power and grace to enter this kingdom work do not come from our own strength, but from the gracious gift of God. We have been given a community, a new community, not based on political or territorial boundaries, but based in the love of Christ. With this community, we seek the truth. And in this community, we find a freedom that compels us to be part of God's ongoing work of redemption in the world. Where Christ reigns, there is justice and equity. Oppression and corruption are destroyed. Where Christ reigns, the hungry are fed, the sick are cured, the lost are rescued, the strangers are welcomed, the prisoners are set free. Where Christ reigns, there is forgiveness and reconciliation. Where Christ reigns, everyone has enough. Where Christ reigns, people live life and live it abundantly. We know all too well, don't we, that this vision is not yet our reality. It doesn't take much to look around and see that we do not live on earth as it is in heaven. Violence, destruction, death, hate and war fill the news. We know that anger, jealousy, injustice, and falsehood afflict our own lives. As we move next Sunday into the season of Advent, we will spend some intentional time recognizing that our world waits in darkness for the coming anew of Christ's light. We wait for that sun rising on a cloudless morning. But today, maybe we should also ask, what does it mean now to claim Christ as our King? What happens when we live as fully belonging to Christ? Are there ways in which that kingdom, which is not from this world, is made present to this world? That kingdom so unlike worldly kingdoms with their abuses of power and violence, Christ's kingdom is one of peace and love. It, unlike the rule of worldly kings, is not imposed. It is achieved through that peace and love it seeks to bring. We hear about how this kingdom works all through the liturgical year. It is like finding a treasure hidden in a field. It is like yeast that mixes into dough and causes all of it to rise. It is like a tiny mustard seed that grows into a large bush and provides refuge. We've also heard about who this kingdom belongs to. Not rich nobles or influential business leaders, but to the poor in spirit, to the persecuted, to children, to those who become servants to others. God works with us, mending us, shaping us, helping us become people of this new community. We choose to become citizens of this kingdom by first allowing this kingdom to be present in us. When we turn our hearts toward God and allow ourselves to be transformed, when we accept God's forgiveness and in turn forgive others, when we care for those in need, when we give of ourselves, new life is happening. Creation is being restored. This does not mean that everything becomes easy. We are not promised a life of pain-free success, but in fact are warned that hardships are surely coming. But our King does not stand aloof from the suffering of this world. Christ enters into our suffering. He was lifted up and hailed as King, not on a throne, but on the cross. Surely Christ weeps with us as a mother with her hurting children. This self-sacrificing love, this emptying of oneself for the sake of another, this is our model of kingship. This is our calling, to give of ourselves, to be fully present to the world. When we belong to this God, we must learn to love as God loves. We are the people through whom Christ's kingdom is coming on earth. We are the people through whom the vision becomes reality. We are the people through whom the light of the new day shines. The kingdom is here. It is now. It is accessible to us. It is among us and within us. And the kingdom is not yet fully realized. The world is not all as it should be. to name and accept Jesus as our King means, at least in part, that we subject our wills to his and work to bring about God's reign of justice, peace, and love. What does this kingdom look like to you? And what are you being called to do to bring it to life?